Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Greetings, everyone. It's Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for August 10th, 2013. Today I'll be discussing natural law for healing the global crisis in consciousness. There's a lot I want to cover in today's shows, and I provided two links with the show's introduction on the Cosmic Love homepage, or if you're listening to the archive show in the future, those links will be included with the show information. This subject of natural law and the global healing crisis is a very timely subject right now with recent global news over the regarding the full-spectrum dominance agenda of power elite potentates who are abusing power, but this too will pass. Mark my words, it's about to change in dramatic ways. It has to change. And to emphasize that point, here's a short audio clip from one of the links I mentioned above.
In terms of big ideas, I think that there's another revolution coming. I'm not sure what it's going to look like, but I think it's going to be very interesting, and it's going to unfold over the next 10 years. And I think it needs to be a spiritual revolution, because I think that our systems are broken. I don't think that our political system will ever work. I don't think no matter how great a man, if you cloned JFK and Abraham Lincoln and made them president, it wouldn't matter. Our system is just too corrupt and too broken. I think that science is corrupt and broken. I think health and nutrition, I think the economic system, the international relations, the environment, everything, the engines of everything are broken. There's some good ideas there behind and some good intentions, but these are going to break down more and more and more. We're going to see these wild pendulum swings between, you know, Democrat, Republican, Tea Party, right, left. It's going to swing every election because people are scrambling for answers. And it doesn't work. So the young people are going to need to, like they did in the 60s, they're going to need to take the reins here and really look at the world in a fresh, new way and say, you know, enough is enough. You guys screwed it up. We need to take our planet back. And I think part of that journey, part of that revolution needs to be spiritual. I think that the word spiritual is a very loaded, weird word, but I think it needs to be with a heart-based wisdom. And this heart-based wisdom needs to go hand-in-hand with science and with social activism and love for our planet. Love for our whole human family that spans the whole globe. And this may sound very high and mighty or airy-fairy, but it's going to have to go to that, or else we're just all going to destroy each other.
So that was a video clip from the one article I've linked there on the Cosmic Love homepage. It's the short video called The Coming Global Spiritual Revolution. And it's by Rayne Wilson, and he's making here a fervent appeal for heart-based wisdom regarding the coming global revolution that must happen in order for us to move forward as a human race. And again, that one quote he has here I think is appropriate to repeat. He says, I think there is another revolution coming. I'm not sure what it's going to look like, but I think it's going to be very interesting, and it's going to unfold over the next 10 years. Well, I would agree that it's unfolding now, and would not be surprised if, as things get better, they may sometimes short cycles or otherwise get worse. It just sometimes it's darkest before the dawn, and light brings up all unlike itself, et cetera, et cetera. So it'll be interesting. Big drama unfolding. The subject of natural law and global healing. The global healing crisis is what, I'm going to be dealing with today. I'm going to be going into this from several different dimensions. I usually start off with the warm fuzzy and get to the heavier stuff later in the show. So I always lose some people along the way, but I figured if I started out light and easy with safe statements before I get to the heavy stuff, there's a better chance that more people will hear more of it. So I'm trying to ride the razor's edge here and give as much information as I can without being overly dramatic or sensational or too weird. I know some people don't get into my cosmic perspective as far as astrology too much. Some do, others not so much. But the timing right now is very auspicious from a cosmic perspective. There's been a grand trine going on with the outer planets, Jupiter, Neptune, and Saturn, for this last month. And last week, that joined another grand trine to create a grand sextile pattern in Earth and water signs. And for astrologers, this has been, worldwide, this has been a huge thing. I've read a lot of articles on this, kind of tuned into it myself, having, been involved with advanced astrology classes and teaching them. And what we're talking about with this grand sextile pattern, the general consensus that it's heralding the global ascension shift into energies of the divine feminine. Now, as I've said in previous shows, this energy of the divine feminine is the energy of heart coherence, which is now scientifically being explored with new communication tools and processes that involve heart coherence biofeedback interfaces with profound implications for raising the standard of communications for social conscience and our social networks, our local and global social networks coming into unity, and these networks that are ubiquitous now, social networking and the involvement of probably many listeners on this show with social networks. You have an understanding that there is a lot happening very quickly, and it's in a process of metamorphosis. So I'm going to talk again in general terms first, then I'm going to go to some of the more in-depth information regarding current world news. I usually like to start out, like I said, a little bit otherworldly before I start getting real worldly, because some people are expecting cosmic love to be a little bit otherworldly. Anyway, that's my intent. So in those terms, one of the first lessons for self-mastery, as I understand it, is to optimize one's conscious evolution. And to do this, there's a balance, this concept of balance. Sometimes it's referred to the balance of polarity, the two in one. The two aspects of the same one, and this is like fearless faith and faithless fear, or like the power of love and the love of power. They're flip sides of the same polarity coin. And one of my favorite quotes by Carl Jung, father of modern psychology, has a good reference to this when he says, "Where love rules, there's no will to power, and where power predominates, their love is lacking. The one is the shadow of the other." So again, this understanding of the love of power, the power of love, fearless faith, faithless fear, these are dynamics that are really kind of, we're getting to the cause and core of lessons for self-mastery. So as with, day or night, or light and dark, there's a positive and a negative energy that we combine to define and refine our individual and collective conscience. So, since the terror crisis we see in the world is at its root a crisis in consciousness for lack of good conscience, the question naturally arises for true servant leaders, how do we involve and evolve conscience? How do we bring light to dark places with natural law for our natural healing? So I've got a link there. Again, this is a link within a link. This one goes through some really powerful infographics regarding natural law for our natural healing. And it goes to different dimensions of this. And I thought I'd give a little bit of an orientation to that now. So you might say this is Conscious Evolution 101. With natural law as the rule, natural healing rules. So the first concept here is how natural law governs natural healing. And there's a great infographic of a guy in a canoe out in nature, and the headline through the picture is "Nature, cheaper than therapy." The concept of natural healing, connecting with nature, natural laws. There's a good case can be made that much of the disease of modern civilization is a disconnection from nature at its cause and core. So more on natural law here. Natural law is the order of the universe, and it is all in divine natural order for co-creation with universe. In other words, to the extent we are conscious of the order of the universe, our role in co-creation with it becomes more or less self-evident. So here's a quote with this, an infographic. It's actually by Sir Laurence Olivier. It's an extract from Time. I guess that's a movie he did. But it says, "Throughout the universe there is order, and in the movement of the planets and nature, and in the functioning of the human mind. A mind that is in its natural state of order is in harmony with the universe, and such a mind is timeless. Your life is an expression of your mind. You are a creator of your own universe, for as a human being you are free to will whatever state of being you desire through the use of your thoughts and words." We are co-creators with the universe. So understanding natural law is understanding a universal language. And the definition of natural law, the natural part is like natural as in inherent, having a basis in nature, reality, and truth, not made or caused by humankind. And the law part of natural law is an existing condition which is binding and immutable, cannot be changed. Cosmic law, universal law, natural law cannot be changed. It's binding and immutable. So natural law is self-evident in both positive and negative expressions. And just as the bright light of conscience dispels dim-witted shadows or notions, so does a fully present choice moment-to-moment build momentum. This is the concept of how every moment our prevailing awareness moment-to-moment creates momentum for that prevailing awareness with the choices we make and how we are conscious, our thoughts, our feelings, etc. So there are numerous ways of looking at a natural law, but there are classic expressions of it, the positive and negative expressions, which really help to get a sense of this concept of polarity, or the law of two and one. How they're two sides of the same coin, the positive, the negative, the positive expression of love, the negative expression of fear, the positive expression of knowledge, you know, seeking truth, the negative expression of ignorance, refusal of truth, the positive expression of sovereignty, like an internal monarchy, and the negative expression of confusion, internal anarchy, talking about internally. And externally, you have the positive expression of freedom. That's like, freedom is like external anarchy. You know, freedom without law is anarchy. And the negative expression of freedom, you might say, is a control, like control freaks, like external monarchy. You know, external ownership. So this concept of sovereignty and internal ownership and monarchy is external ownership, and the comparison of sovereignty to confusion and freedom to control, order to chaos, good to evil, love to fear. These are the polarity expressions of natural law that give a sense of this is basically the experience that global humanity is coming to as a whole, and all that's less than that comes up for transmutation in the process. You know, more light and the concept of global unity and our diversity and knowledge, sovereignty, freedom, and, you know, harmonious order. The more that's a challenge to all the forces of fear and ignorance and confusion and control, chaos, or evil. So I'm trying to put this in kind of a perspective here, you know, like I say, the warm fuzzy, the safe statements before we go to the heavy stuff, but taking this step by step. So we're going in this understanding of natural law and the natural purpose of natural law, connecting with the center of universe as the core of the self. Now, here's one of my favorite all-time quotes from Native American wisdom. It's from Black Elk. Black Elk speaks the book. He's a medicine man, and you might say he was a quantum physicist, and you'll see what I mean when I say this. Here's this quote from Black Elk. He says, "The first piece, the most important, is that which comes within the souls of people when they realize their relationship, their oneness with the universe and all its powers. And when they realize that the center of the universe dwells the Great Spirit, and that its center is really everywhere, it is within each of us." Like I say, it's like just medicine, man. It really sounds quantum physicists would today. So there's different strokes for different folks, but there's the same intent for relevant truth. I mean, everyone, for their own prevailing awareness, has their own relevant truth. That is their intent, their truth for them. So everyone is at different, and this is another infographic there where it says everyone is at different stages of consciousness. And there is a certain stage you reach where your intent is only to speak your truth, not convince others of it. You begin to realize that everyone has their own path. In other words, you cannot convince a baby they should be walking when they are at the stage of crawling. To convince them of that truth is irrelevant. So each to their own relevant truth. As far as the concept of being fully present, this is really getting into the concept of the infinite and the eternal here and now. And that is live in the moment. Live in the great eternal now, moment to moment. And that's how we, with our choices, how we create momentum that's either upward mobile or downward spiral, depending on whether it's positive or negative. So a lot of this all comes down to each one's belief system. You might say everyone has their own BS as a belief system. And not everyone is in perfect alignment or in harmony with cosmic universal law or natural law. Plato said a long time ago, those who are able to see beyond the shadows and lies of their culture will never be understood, let alone believed by the masses. In other words, culture is a composite of so many different belief systems. Some BS from a leadership sense, and some BS belief systems that follow those leaders. And what we all see every day tend to accept as normal, when sometimes the shadows, beyond the shadows, there is, you know, the divine, you might say, the divine order, the divine harmony, the natural law, the natural order for aligning our individual and collective consciousness. Anyway, I finished up some of those infographics. One of the last ones there is about, giving hope to those sometimes I refer to as the meek and humble, or sometimes as the crazy ones. And so this one's called "Here's to the Crazy Ones, the Misfits, the Rebels, the Troublemakers, the Roundheads in the Square Holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. The only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward, and while some may see them as crazy ones, we see genius, because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who usually do." That's by Jack Kerouac. Of course, there's pictures of Einstein, John Leonard, Julian Assange, Martin Luther King, Gandhi, Krishnamurti, and all kinds of other, you might say, luminary leaders, Carl Sagan, etc. There's pictures surrounding this quote. And again, so often you take a John Lennon or a Gandhi or a Krishnamurti, you know, or Martin Luther King or Julian Assange, and there's many people realize, we're talking about today with Bradley Manning and Edward Snowden. Some people say they're the crazy ones. Some people say they're criminal. Other people call them heroes. And what they're saying here is we see their genius, the genius of moving civilization forward. This kind of gets into the heavier issues with Edward Snowden and recent revelations with Snowden and the real story of Bradley Manning and what he's being punished for, you know, exposing those videos of helicopter killings, massacres of journalists and civilians, and leaking those videos from the Iraqi war into the mainstream media that show that basically we're horrendously abusing power in the world and trying to bring conscience to the equation. So that's my intent. That's kind of the preliminary. I'm going to get kind of into the meat of the show now. This is a call-in show. If someone really wants to discuss the thread here, I'm going to give a little bit of an orientation now to this next part. It's a recent. This was a recent publication that was on my e-list. Those who signed up on my Cosmic Love homepage. I send these out usually at least once, twice, sometimes thrice a week, these articles. This one's one of the series called Montana Musings, a big guy perspective on common sense solutions for global problems. And if you can visualize this, it begins with this picture overview of the Paradise Valley that I live in here in Montana. Snow-capped mountains and green and a river coursing through the middle of the valley, and this is up on the bluff where I have my office. And I'm referencing here that Paradise Valley is famous for its summer rainbows. Evening clouds roll in from the west, and the valley runs north to south, so the setting sun in the west shines under rain clouds against the mountains, creating spectacular rainbows representing the full spectrum of light colors. And the article is called The Red, the White, the Blue, the Purple, and the Gold. And the red, white, and blue is a reference not just to color, you know, the white in the rainbow, and the red and the blue, or the red, white, and blue in the American flag. It's also referencing, the red, white, and blue of America, you know, the spirit of America, the flag of America, the standard of America. That is worshipped with nationalism by so many people. I'm not saying that that's bad. I'm just saying that some people have more of a belief system in nation states than they do in the family of man as a whole, the unity consciousness that transcends the divisions of nation states, which are going through a whole process of largely losing their boundaries because of the instant everywhere and interactive internet, where there are no boundaries. We are in a global village, you know, the family of man in a global village now, and in practice, you know, with global communications, but in principle we are, and in practice largely, but there's also the practice, the habit, the momentums of being divided, the sense of being divided, and resource wars and going on worldwide, and all kinds of divide-and-conquer tactics by different nations on their own people and the people of the world. So this is, you know, the big test we're looking at, and we're looking at a metaphor here, exquisite metaphor, ideally, to frame the concept of this red, white, and blue. It obviously has a patriotic ring to it, you know, the flag, the red, white, and blue. Referring to the rainbow, I'm referring to natural law, natural light. There's a full spectrum of colors. The white light, you know, hits the prism and refracts into all the colors of the rainbow. Whether you're talking about the prism of rain, you know, up against the mountains, or the just a prism where you shine a beam of light into it, you know, like crystals in the window. That full spectrum language of light, the laws of light, the natural laws, is a metaphor for the language of consciousness. I mean, you've got full spectrum autism, where some of those bands of the spectrum, you might say, of consciousness are not there as much as others. And you've got full spectrum conscience, where you're firing on all burners, and there's, the synergy is greater than the sum of the parts, and there's somewhat of a white light of enlightenment going, you know, in your holodeck, between your ears. So this is a metaphor, you know, the language of light that I'm playing with here, and this is kind of some of the background on the story as you go through it. The red and the purple, what I said, you know, this is the red, the white, the blue, the purple, and the gold. And the purple and the gold are referring to international sovereignty. Purple is the international, you might say the international standard. Just like the red, white, and blue for America, the purple and the gold is the colors in the flag, you might say, the standard, the concept of the frequencies of purple and gold sovereignty and wisdom in the flag standard for the United Sovereigns of Earth. You know, the concept of Earth is a global village, Earth is a community of one, and what are the colors we're going to fly? Well, purple, violet are those colors, the colors of sovereignty and the Holy Spirit, and gold is the color of wisdom, and the purple and the gold represent, you know, this new unity in our diversity. So I'm going through this metaphorically. I go into it in depth with whole sections, the red sections, the red hot stuff, the white section, the white hot stuff, the blue section. I reference that in terms of philosophic resolve, the true blue philosophic resolve, and the royal purple path of universal sovereignty for all of us, United Sovereigns of Earth. That's the last section. I don't know how I'll have time to go through all of this, and there is some things I'd like to, other things I'd like to finish up with. You can go through this on your own. I've got the link there. There's videos there, several different embedded videos. Especially when you go to these different links, there's more embedded videos. You know, there's quite a story I'm trying to tell here. It's metaphoric. It's life is metaphor. You know, and you appreciate something as it compares to something else. in time also, you know, sometimes we appreciate the present because of a past that was worse, so to speak. Anyway, for your own enjoyment, I provided more links, that give more in-depth explanation of concepts that deal with what's going on in the larger scheme of things. So this article was published on August 6th. There was a new moon then, and it was the beginning of a cycle, which is really going on globally now in earnest. And I'm talking about serious serious interest worldwide in what's going on with the, just might say, a revolution in higher consciousness, global evolution revolution. I could go right to the white-hot core issues. That's one of the sections, you know. The white hot core issues, which, you know, I mean, the red, white, and blue, there's the red hot issues and there's the white hot core issues. And there are many issues that emanate from the one, you might say, white fire core issue of the whole truth that liberates global humanity from the big lie. And a huge focus on this, and we're talking worldwide, I mean, a huge worldwide focus. It's getting a dominant headline press this last couple weeks, but it's really been heating up worldwide in newspapers, television sets, especially the internet worldwide, is regarding Greenwald and Greenwald's revelations regarding is the U.S. Exaggerating threat to embassies to silence critics of NSA domestic surveillance. That video was posted August 6th. It's a really good overview of the situation. There's the interview here with Greenwald and his explanations gives really profound insight and how, as Greenwald explains, we are in the midst of one of the most intense debates and sustained debates that we've had in a very long time in this country over the dangers of excessive surveillance. And suddenly, an administration that has spent 2 years claiming that it has decimated al-Qaeda decides that there is this massive threat that involves the closing of embassies and consulates around the world. And the controversy is over the fact that they are sweeping up billions and billions of emails and telephone calls every day from people around the world and in the United States who have absolutely nothing to do with terrorism. So it was pretty much, to quell public outrage over the Snowden revelations. And we're talking about a lot of outrage in Germany and, worldwide. This is a huge issue. You know, it's like we are in a global village and there's this global surveillance going on of everyone. And and this thing of terrorism is continually used to create and manage control, create crisis and then manage crisis with increasing control, where we're losing more and more of our sovereignty. Well, like I said, this too will change. This too will pass. This is actually in a process of what I call matriculation of the matrix. The matrix, the way things have been, is changing. And when I say matriculation, it's changing gradually, sometimes more dramatically than others. This is the big, big drama thing that's going on this summer. Now, the sun is in Leo. The Mercury's in Leo. This is the really hot thing. The moon just went through Leo. And there has been this triggering event, this grand sextile, where there's people, you might say the Divine Mother energy, which is the nurturing, caring energy, you know, like the real energy at the heart of healing, you know, real health care. It's a caring energy. It's a cooperative energy. It's a divine feminine energy. And that energy is really matriculating the matrix. So we got a patriarchal matrix on steroids, on war steroids, on terror steroids. People are waking up to that all over the world. I mean, this is being resolved as we speak, and it's, again, it goes in fits and starts. And the more light and people waking up, the more it brings up all that's unlike itself as far as enlightened thinking, and you get these little power trips of the power elite, doing more terror tactics that create the fear matrix to get people out of the love matrix. Get out people out of the unity matrix to divide and conquer people, so that the super rich and the power elite can bring America down and bring the third world and the rest of the world up, and where they meet their new world order. I mean, that's been the plan for a long time. You know, is how do you basically own and control the world with your totalitarian new world order agenda? Well, that just doesn't fly like it used to. And actually, the 99.99999% really don't want that. I mean, we really want to see things get better. Well, obviously, it'll get better with some level of what I call heart coherence. Heart coherence as the frequency of holy compassion. It's the golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm. It can be monitored with biofeedback. Heart coherence, just call it prevailing awareness of a love-centric nature, a heart-centric, it's like smart with the heart. There's been a lot of smart people and a lot of powerful people using smart people to control everyone else or surveil everyone else or monitor and control everyone else. But at the same time, there are people of heart who are taking heart. But there are people, I mean, the power of wisdom with love is a higher power. And this is the divine feminine energies that's matriculating the matrix. It's checking and balancing the inordinate love of power that is adverse to the power of love. Again, we got this dynamic going on. We got this, the love matrix, you might say, the worldwide love foundation is matriculating in the matrix. Well, what is the foundation? Well, the foundation is between our ears. The foundation is the City 4 Square, the New Jerusalem, the period of self and civilization. It's the cosmic cube from upper brain to lower brain, left brain, right brain, forebrain, and rear brain that's all centered and connected in the pineal or the pituitary gland, the third eye chakra in the center of the brain. you know, where we're supposed to have God vision. So you got all these pyramids coming up from the top to the bottom, to the left to the right, in this cosmic cube, you know, right into the capstone, right there in the, of all these pyramids, again, above, below, to the left, right, before, behind, right there in the pituitary gland, the master gland, you know, the third eye chakra. And for a lot of people, it's been calcified up. It's been calcified up by fluoride in the water. It's been calcified up. That's one of the things that really attacks the pituitary gland. Fluoride in the water. There's all kinds of toxic genetic chemicals in the food chain. If you don't eat organic foods, natural foods, and negative energy can crystallize the pituitary gland. You know, people just get stuck in a funk, and they get depressed. And of course, even worse than insult to injury, you take a psychotropic drug which shuts down the pituitary gland. You know, it numbs and dumbs the brain with toxic genetic poisons that have side effects, all kinds of side effects. One of them is being, it dims consciousness. A lot of people are waking up to that worldwide. There are all kinds of alternatives to psychotropic drugs for, you know, whatever ails you mentally. I mean, you know, it's like, why add insult to injury, which is a toxic genetic poisons in the brain, which, you know, cause side effects, etc. There are times, you know, there are exceptions to the rule when a certain drug will be needed. There's definitely times when modern medicine is just miraculous for saving lives. Emergency medicine. I had my leg saved by a good surgeon. You know, I've seen it many times working as a the driver for the EMT services, you know, local volunteer Paradise Valley Emergency Medical Services years ago. I mean, there's a lot of times when emergency medicine is extraordinary, but there's also a need, of course, in the global village today when holistic healing is necessary, and there are options for that. I've written a lot about universal self-care, what that will look like, and how it's possible now to have free online universal self-care. People all over the world be able to access his databases, go through gateways regarding their metabolic type, which is their blood type, and then enter their current symptom profile, and then get information with multiple perspectives from an empirical database that indicates what's working best, whether it be homeopathic, naturopathic, chiropractic, allopathic, or some eclectic combination of all the above. In other words, you know, the proving of what holistically is working best to build health and prevent disease. And that's, again, based on, it's a results-based database. People can report back to the database as just, you might say, an obligation for using the information, what they choose to do, and the results that they get if they choose to add that back to the database, like with a thank you. Then it helps everyone see what is working best from these different perspectives, you know, in the short term and the long term. It gives a marker reporting protocol, just like their software. You can go online, but I'm not going to mention the different ones. If you're going through a town or a city or driving down the road with your smartphone, you can check different software platforms and applications and find out which local eateries, coffee shops, places to stop have a good rating by users, people that have come there and evaluated the food. Well, in the case of universal self-care, you know, we can self-evaluate what's working best for ourselves. We can report the results. We can self-evaluate from a database information what's indicated is working best. You can do whatever you want, but whatever you choose, to share those results back to the database, as that database expands with hundreds or thousands of people regarding your same health condition, same metabolic type or blood type, it gives extraordinary information for, you know, value for having a better understanding of what holistically works best, and with emphasis on non-invasive, minimal, you know, biologically correct or energetically correct or homeopathic, chiropractically correct or even allopathically correct, which there, sometimes some drugs may actually in the short term and the long term work better. And it'd be nice to have a database, to have some kind of an objective crowdsourced information, you know, crowd in terms of the people respond, you know, people that sharing information back to the database, what that indicates, to flesh it out, to give a better indication of what's working best, to make choices more self-evident, make, you know, what options are self-evident, what seems to be working best. Now, that concept universally, I mean globally, universal self-care, you know, so that anyone in the world can have access to with a smartphone or a laptop or with a, you know, an iPad, you know, whatever. So I'm sharing that, you know, this concept of we're going through a lot of changes in the earth right now, politically, economically, to where new systems are emerging and old systems are transforming. But as far as global holistic healing, and how a vision of wholeness and healing is essential. It's so important because, you know, with vision, the healing begins. Without vision, the people perish. I mean, it's like the video clip I played at the beginning of the show today. We've got to do something different. We've, you know, and what are we going to do to involve and evolve or otherwise culture our individual and collective conscience? How are we going to basically culture social conscience in our social networks? Well, I've gone on to provide some other links here and articles. One of them is by Paul Craig Roberts on August 6th. And he was saying another white hot issue, that this is what's going on with the fear tactics in the mainstream media. Fear tactics is just another false plot to numb and dumb us with terror. He's asking, is this what we're seeing? So the U.S. media has ignored, as Paul Craig Roberts says, the U.S. media has ignored the obvious fact that as soon as the American population, Congress, and Washington puppet allies such as Germany make an issue over the NSA's clearly unconstitutional and totally illegal universal spying, the Obama regime pushed the fear button and hyped a new terror plot in order to shut up critics and bring Congress and Germany back in line. Well, Paul Craig Roberts, he was secretary, economic secretary, I believe, back in Reagan years. I mean, this guy was, you know, he was in government. He knows how things work. He knows how things work socially, politically, and economically in ways that, you know, very few whistleblowers, very few people other than whistleblowers tell us. So this is an article and a link. The link to the article, the article is called "Washington Thinks You're Stupid." I thought it was a good article because a lot of people just don't realize that that there's a lot of manipulation going on with terror tactics. And a lot of people are wise to it and getting tired of it. So there's several other videos there and several of the articles. There's a video on this, what I refer to, what's going on with the corporatocracy. And the corporatocracy is really kind of the core issue here. As Edward Snowden says, Snowden is not the story. The fate of the Internet is. So Edward Snowden's not the story. The fate of the Internet is the story. What this means, what this one writer says, he says, repeat after me, Edward Snowden is not the story. The story is what he has revealed about the hidden wiring of our networked world. And this insight seems to have escaped most of the world's mainstream media. And it's true. Again, I have all the videos on this page, the one at the top on the white hot section. Greenwald is U.S. exaggerating regarding is the U.S. exaggerating threat to the embassies. And, you know, Greenwald is the one that exposed the Snowden affair. He's the one, through foreign media, has been, through, you know, the Guardian in England. He has been exposing Snowden from the beginning. He was one of the people that brought Snowden out and was telling his story from the beginning. And now he's reporting what's going on worldwide in response to these revelations. And it's a very significant video. I highly recommend it. going back to the I mean, there's more on the white hot issues that are so hot I don't even want to talk about it on the air. I have, you know, I could go into my reasons there, but I mean, I'm going to go back to just the red hot issues. Excuse me, the red hot items of this last week. Thanks to Snowden's revelations, the whole world is well aware of what I refer to as the healing crisis in America. And I've got a link on that article, healing, with the words healing crisis, so you can see a whole article on that subject. So, as I say, the whole world is aware that there's a crisis, and I refer to as a healing crisis, and it's the same with largely the family of man and our new global village net reality. I mean, people on the internet worldwide in every country are tuned into this affair because it really is the issue. It's a global issue as never before, as far as the communications systems that affect the whole world. The global internet affects the whole world. And you got to remember that the Berlin Wall came down at a time when the faxes and phone calls, communications across the wall were across the wall. You know, the communications for East Germany and West Germany, East and West there, were such that it was revealing everything that was going on to where the law couldn't be sustained. The people in East Germany, you know, with empty store shelves, who were learning that, you know, capitalism and full store shelves and you know, basically good systems of government were what they wanted. They wanted that wall to come down because they knew better. And when you know better, you know, and can do better, you know, if you're fed up with victim dictum, then you want to have some victory virtue and do better. You know, it's like make it so. And that's why the Berlin Wall came down. And that's why basically the walls in the mind of in the collective consciousness is coming down, and people are starting to think of themselves as global netizens, which they are. In practice, you know, social networks are a global event now, and people in English-speaking countries all over the world, which is now, English has become like a universal language, or a second language in China and all these other countries where, in Russia, to where they speak good English, and they get on these social networks, and it's like there is no time or space. It's a global village. So then it's really coming to the point where that different individuals anywhere in the world can be involved in different social networks, such as education networks, what's working best in education, what's, you know, I mean, in other words, in terms of how to think rather than what to think, you know, golden age education, what's going on with healthcare, like I say, this concept of universal self-care, the knowledge that could be brought to a global database, you know, that's personalized, that you can access yourself for free with informed choice. It's not that expensive to set up. It would pay for itself. I have a business model that on the web page on universal self-care. I don't know why someone hasn't done it yet, other than it challenges the status quo of drugs for whatever, you know, allopathic medicine. But, you know, I mean, if there's going to be any kind of health freedom at all, and if you haven't got health freedom, if you have to own your own body, you haven't got any freedom at all, and if there's going to be health freedom, the core health freedom, obviously, is informed choice, and with informed choice, you know, you can know better and do better, and you know, I mean, extend that, you know, in the global service, and you've got a global healing vision. So I mean, it's not rocket science. The common sense may be uncommon, but, you know, most people can connect the dots. It's really just, you know, caring enough to, you know, share an understanding with others that, hey, you know, there's solutions now that could be implemented that make the stinking thinking in the old system obsolete. So we got some paradigm paralysis, and there's a way to heal it. Obviously, like Mr. Fuller said, you know, you don't resist or fight the old system. You create a new system or a new product or a new service or a new model that makes the old model obsolete, and that's where we're at right now. It's happening. This is the matriculation of the matrix I was talking about. This is what's going on in our global village, and the Matrix is rebooting. And it's rebooting with divine feminine energies, which, you know, are the spirit of cooperation and coordination and community with unity in our diversity, you know, through cooperation and coordination of our gifts and talents and resources, you know, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, you know, our highest and best service, the purpose and plan that, you know, the masters know and serve, you know, servant leadership. And whistleblowers are coming out of the closet these days. I mean, if you've been following the news, if on the internet, there's all these whistleblowers coming out and revealing not just the systemic corruption that demands our fervent intent for healing, but also, you know, whistleblowers. You might say I'm a cosmic love whistleblower. You know, a vision of wholeness and healing of our healthcare system. Mass-to-mass telecom. I'm kind of more like a metaphysician, you know. My concept of healing is along Buckminster Fuller's lines. You know, having trained with him, that's kind of where I'm coming from. But you know, I lectured at his World Game Studies workshop back in 1974. I've been at it for some time, and it's not rocket science. It's really like he called it comprehensive anticipatory design science. Comprehensive in the sense you take an interaction matrix of all the variables involved and you do a trend analysis and where it's coming from and where it's going, and you basically just connect the dots. I mean, that's an oversimplified version of it, but design science really is how we co-create in a sense. And, you know, I've always wondered how could people basically get our act together with the archetypes of wholeness and healing, whether it be in the healthcare system or whether it be in the communication systems that define our unity, you know, defines our communication networks, basically define our social conscience. You know, how we communicate, how we come into unity is how we create unity in our diversity, social conscience in our social networks. I mean, there is a moral criteria here, you know, and the idea is that as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, we culture conscience. And as, you know, the chief architect of the Constitution, James Madison, said, conscience is the most sacred of all property. So the Red Hot section gets into Red Hot issues that are in the news, and you can click on that and go to that. I say it's for mature adults only because it's some heavy stuff that a lot of people are kind of neophytes in the matrix, or you know, they're just waking up to the fact that there is a matrix. But then it's just like, how do you transcend the matrix? Where's the matrix going? How's the matrix morphing? You know, how's this matriculation of the matrix changing the matrix of reality? Where's this thing going? So some people that have been on my list and followed the show for some time and tune in sporadically or occasionally, you'll know what I'm referring to here about, you know, warning, this is for mature adults only. This is the Red Hot stuff. And I say it's for stalwart light workers and love makers because, you know, and has embedded videos that goes into some pretty intense stuff. And so I wanted to give a little background on that, you know, prepare people for, you know, some serious, you know, straight skinny on the deep doo-doo, so to speak. You know, why capitalism is morally bankrupt and dying, you know, what we can do about it, you know, and causing core red-hot issues of, you know, their spiritual revolution. So it's, the heart of all religion is spirituality, and it's the moral imperative for liberty, and that's a hot issue right now globally. It's not just, you know, the Arab countries that are rising up, you know, really in rebellion and outrage because they were scapegoated for the 9/11 inside job. Of course, that's another story. You know, the whole inside job, a lot of people right there probably leaving the show. I mean, they hear that, you know, 9/11 inside job, give me a break. Patriot Act, not being patriotic, give me a break. I mean, most people listening understand the Patriot Act, you know, morphed into unabashed tyranny tactics. Now, you know, suspension of a lot of our core constitutional freedoms in the name of freedom. I mean, you know, how ironic is that? So, you know, I'm referencing, you know, some cause and core issues here, the red hot issues in this section. You can read it, and if you're interested, and there's some good articles referencing the points of and the case for this. There's the video. You can watch it yourself. It's the PBS version, a 26-second video clip of Larry Silverstein regarding, you know, here we have Larry Silverstein, owner of the former World Trade Center complex, saying that they pulled it, you know, as in a controlled demolition of World Trade Center number 7 later in the day on 9/11. It wasn't hit by a plane, and it fell at the same speed and symmetry as the other two buildings that were hit by planes. So you got three planes going down, and Silverstein admitted that they pulled the building number 7, and it went down in a controlled demolition. Of course, there's a lot of firefighters, and there's, you know, other videos I've got here that firefighters and witnesses say, well, it was controlled demolition of the other two buildings because we saw the explosions popping out on the floors as it was collapsing. Anyway, you know, this isn't politically correct. I realize that. This is not for everyone. But for some people that really want to know, what's the truth of all this? So this is the smoking gun. I mean, do you realize how long it takes to wire a building for a controlled demolition like that? And is it true that all three buildings must have been wired? And would you agree that this is the, you know, the smoking gun that Internet users worldwide are well aware of, thanks largely to architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth with their websites and their video presentations and at college campuses and cities worldwide for years? This is no longer a secret. This is gone global. So there's video by Richard Gage, who's the founder and spokesperson for this group of more than 1,000 architects. And they have a 4-minute video you can watch. Ed Ashner is another spokesperson who narrates another 15-minute video that I've got embedded here. And this video is called Architects and Engineers Solving the Mystery of World Trade Center Number 7. Some people really want to know what's behind all this cause and core insanity in the world. And if you go back to this situation, you know, and you might say the official psychotic break with reality, that this is what has morphed into the healing crisis we see today. So any good holistic health practitioner, first thing they're going to do is try and get to the cause and core of the problem. Well, that's the problem we got with the healing crisis today. That's the solution we've got with this new understanding. And I want to thank everyone for listening. More with the videos that you can see. I hope to see you again here in a couple of weeks with Cosmic Love. So happy trails, everyone.